You're listening to The Court Report with Princeton women's basketball head coach Courtney Banghart.
Welcome to The Court Report. I'm Jerry Price, and I'm joined by Princeton women's basketball coach Courtney Banghart. And coach, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
2018. Do you remember, you might be a little young for this, but when I was a kid, the big thing was that in the year 2000, it just seemed like it was so far in the future. And everybody was like all worried about, like, you know, first there was the whole just like there were going to be flying cars and things like that. But then, like, once you got a little closer, it was the whole Y2K thing. Like, do you remember any of that stuff?
I do, of course. I was a graduate from college in 2000, and I was thinking, this is not very exciting. You graduate from college and you enter the world of the abyss. This is not great.
Well, everybody when I was a kid would be like all focused on how old they were going to be in the year 2000. It just seems so futuristic. Now it's 2018 already.
You know, for me, we recruit so far in advance here that just in general, your eyes are on people nice and early that 2018 feels a little bit behind, actually. So, yeah, it's kind of a mix.
It's hard to believe 18 years since the year 2000.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was when I was a kid, like the big thing was, oh, we're going to be so old in the year 2000.
Yeah.
And now it's like 18 years later. I don't feel old, but did you have a good New Year's?
Trying to think. Yeah, I did. I had a good New Year's a couple of days ago. The kids were off on New Year's Eve. They were not off New Year's Day. So
let's go back to the last game of 2017, and we're going to talk about the first game of 2018, which is the game against Penn Saturday at the Palestra, which I believe is a 1 o'clock start. And it's not a doubleheader with the men. The men play Friday night. That game is at 7 o'clock. I assume that was done for television.
I'm guessing. Yeah, I'm not sure.
But let's go back to the last game of 2017. That was the 77-40 win over UMBC, which was, you know, let's be charitable. UMBC is not a good team.
Yep.
You know, they sort of regrouped and played much harder in the second half, but the game was long over by then. Did you get things out of that you were hoping to get?
Yeah. You know, I thought there are very few games on our schedule, based on our difficult schedule, that we on paper were automatically better than technically. And this was one of those teams that we thought on paper we had a real advantage right from the start. And we hadn't always fared well. We had won those games earlier in the season, but we weren't able to set the tempo and assert our will from the start. And I thought we did a much better job of that. And then they played a lot of zone, which we know Penn will play a good portion of zone as well. So we got to get reps at things we're trying to get better at.
So going back to the UMBC game, Carly Littlefield didn't miss from the field.
Yeah.
6 for 6, ended up with 15 points. Bella Allery had, I think, 11 or 13. I can't remember off the top of my head, but she was the only other one in double figures. But I think it was 11 players, 12 players played, 11 players scored.
Yeah.
11 players played double figures in minutes. Nobody played more than 22.
Yeah.
When you're coaching a game like that, and it was a 30-point game in the second quarter.
Right.
Are you thinking to yourself, at what point are you thinking to yourself, all right, let me just get everybody in? Or, like, are you trying to work on stuff? What's going through your mind at that point?
Yeah, that particular game, what was going through was that our schedule's been such a challenge this year that we haven't been able to develop our depth as much as we have in the past, because you're winning possession games or close games in the fourth quarter, and you kind of need to rely on your experience and rely on your best guys. And so for me, I was like, this is a great opportunity for us to get some of these kids that I think are really going to help us, necessary game minutes and necessary important game minutes. So it couldn't come at a better time getting into the new year.
I always wondered this about coaches. So, like, you're in the last 2 minutes of a game where you're either up or down by, say, 12, 15, that range.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not even 15, but, like, it's a 10, 12-point game. The odds that the team that's down is going to come back to win are, like, minimal. But at what point are you comfortable saying, all right, I'm going to put my subs in? Or I've often heard coaches say that the team that's behind has to sort of surrender first and take all their people out before I'm going to take my people out.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, you're going with that. You know, I think I kind of subscribe to the fact that it's Division I basketball, and there are no charity, and there's no sort of, I hope I get my, we're up by 30, it's my turn. And so depending on the game, just to clear the bench just for the purpose of getting people time, that's not meaningful time in my opinion. I meaningful time is if you can get them time in the second and third quarter when they have to sustain and try to build on both ends. So luckily that's not something I actually think much about. I think I do think a lot about, I don't take the last shot if we're winning and it's under the shot clock, which we've been really consistent about here. But that's pretty much it.
So 2017 portion of your schedule ends at 10-3.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You would have, What were you thinking when the year started? 10 wins out of 13 was doable or not doable?
Gosh, with so many young guys contributing, I wasn't quite sure what was doable. But if you had told me we'd be 10-3, I'd be thrilled. I knew that we'd have a lot of young guys playing. I knew that the schedule was packed, by design, because I wanted to get this team needed to be sharpened quickly, because we don't have 2 years. You know, we've got 3 months. And so I love the schedule, and I love even more that we came out of it looking so good.
So you guys are done now with your non-league schedule before you've played a league game, which I don't think maybe most teams do. I don't know. I haven't really paid that close attention. But so what that will do, though, is clearly make two segments of your season. You have the non-league season and the league season. And obviously your goals are all going to be attained through the league season, although that wasn't the case 2 years ago when you got the at-large bid.
Yeah.
But, you know, the goals of winning a championship and getting an automatic bid to the NCAA tournament, those are all done through the league itself. But there's also, I would think that, you know, I don't want to say less pressure, because, like, the league isn't in play in the non-league schedule, but there's a certain element of that where you're not always playing Friday night, Saturday night, and you're not playing the same teams you play all the time. Mm-hmm. You're traveling to places that you may otherwise not go to.
And yeah.
I mean, I think there's a little more fun, possibly, is the word, or something, to the non-league part.
There's lack of, there's such familiarity with your conference games. You know, the coaches, you know the coaches, you know the players, you've recruited against them or with them, and so there's just this familiarity that can be really healthy and really fun, and it also can get sort of draining of, like, the same old thing, you know, especially over a 6 or 7 week period. You're playing the same, everyone twice. So the non-conference also allows us to play that many postseason teams. I mean, there were 8 that played in the postseason last year, so you get a very high concentration, if you so choose, which we have, to really go out and schedule. And the records, I get asked a lot kind of where the league is, and it's hard to say, because people have played different, they've had different scheduling opportunities, and they've had different scheduling goals. And so you can't look at numbers right now. You can just kind of focus on yourself and know that our 10-3 record I feel really good about.
So with that, now you turn the page, and it's Saturday afternoon against Penn in the Palestra. And to me, if you look at the entire history of Ivy League athletics, there are certain rivalries that have stood out among any others. And I think if you asked anybody off the street, maybe they would say Harvard-Yale football. To me, I've always looked at Harvard-Yale football like the people who care about Harvard-Yale football are Harvard people and Yale people, and I don't think it really extends much beyond that. No offense to Harvard and Yale.
Right.
But Penn-Princeton basketball, I think, has always had more of a national appeal, and I think it was built on the fact that for decades, the men from Princeton or the men from Penn were the ones in the NCAA tournament and did a lot of things in the postseason in the 60s and the 70s and up and, you know, through, you know, everybody knows the history of it. Now what's happened is Harvard and Yale have gotten better at men's basketball. Penn struggled a bit. Princeton struggled for a while, but now is back. And I don't think it's just the Penn-Princeton rivalry in men's basketball anymore. I think those 4 schools, definitely Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Penn trying to get back to that. The other 4 maybe chasing them a little bit. But I think that that has taken away a little bit from the Penn-Princeton rivalry, the fact that Harvard got good and Yale got good. On the women's side now, Princeton-Penn women's basketball sort of has become what Princeton-Penn men's basketball was, where, you know, for the last 4 years, you guys have finished 1-2. And, you know, those have been epic games.
Yeah, they've been fun.
You know, and it's you've really developed into you know, this incredible rivalry over the last few years. And just talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, to be able to have that team on your schedule that you know by the end they're going to have had a good year and so will you. Now, with a tournament, there's probably less riding on each individual game, but you know they're going to be good and you know we're going to be good. And so you play a really good team and they got to play a really good team and you get to do it first. So that always for me is fun because every game is equals the same. You don't want to go out and beat Penn and then go lose to Cornell, right? They're a win is a win and a loss is a loss. But it starts the season and it's kind of fun to do it against a team that you know is going to be good late.
So if you look at the Ivy League standings right now, nobody's played a game, so everybody's 0-0, but Brown is 11-1.
Yeah.
Got a vote in the top 25 poll.
Sure did.
What are you looking at? You know, Penn is 6-4.
Yep.
But they were 2-4, so they've won 4 in a row. And like your team, I haven't looked at anything other than their scores, but their defensive numbers seem to be better since they started winning.
Yep.
Do you look at the league in its totality, or do you just say, all right, our first game is Penn? And
I've seen everybody in the league play, so I've done that. I've done that homework just to get a general eye on what's out there. And, you know, I think Penn's got young guys that are contributing, and we have young guys that are contributing probably more so than some of the other teams. So, like, ironically, those are some of the newer talent is in those 2 schools. But, You know, we don't play Brown until February, so I'm not going to think too much about them until we get into the get past the first three here. We're done. We'll be finished up by mid-January, and then I've got 2.5 weeks to, or 3 full weeks to focus on the rest of the league. But I've seen everybody play, but no, I'm going to sort of focus on Princeton still.
So what does that do for you when you, you know, we talked about the non-league schedule, not the league schedule, but your league schedule is definitely broken up into the before exam break and the post exam break.
Yeah.
You can't take momentum out of exam break. Like, you can't.
Yeah.
If you're 3-0 with 3 30-point wins, you're not going to have any momentum when exams are over.
No doubt.
In much the same way that if you struggle coming out of the gate in the league season, you're not going to get into that kind of a hole. Like, your mentality is. So this is basically a three-game,
totally.
8-day.
Exactly. It's a three-day, its own individual. We have like three. Now we have 4 seasons. You have the non-conference.
And the tournament.
You have the, yeah. Maybe it's 5 then. You have the non-conference. Then you have these 3 games. Then you have the Ivy League. Then you have the tournament. And then you hope to have the postseason. So, but yeah, we're going to focus on these 3 as separate entities for sure.
So we did get we got an email.
Okay.
Asking some questions about scheduling for your non-league.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The email says, my question for Coach Bankhart may be too late given we're starting the Ivy season, but in her last court report, she mentioned that they won't play us, and so we play each other, meaning mid-majors. And it's a multi-part question of who won't play us,
yep.
and why.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's mostly specific teams.
Right.
This team won't play us, but like, who won't play us, I assume, is Power 5 conference teams
yeah,
who don't
I
want
to
go on the road.
Yeah, I think the challenge is that, you know, we are a – I think our RPI is always going to be good enough that we're a good game to schedule, right? But the outside of the Princeton bubble, they look at it like, hey, it's a non-scholarship, it's a mid-major team, and there's a very good chance they're going to beat us. And so we'd rather schedule a different non-conference mid-major who – more than likely we are going to win that game, and not thinking about it as much RPI because the high majors have enough high RPI games in their actual conference season. So I think it's just, we pose a great risk. It's a good problem to have. We pose a great risk to most teams when they can go schedule, you know, someone else who's, you know, 20 minutes away. They can play Drexel, who's also very good, or Delaware, but they've got a better chance probably to beat them.
So if you could,
yeah.
this is a three-part question.
Oh, right? I'm ready.
The second is, if you had the wish list, like, mm-hmm. and you could bring anybody here that you wanted to, mm-hmm. who would it be?
I'd love to play Duke, home and home. I'd love to play Penn State, home and home. I'd love to play, which we actually are adding next year. I'd love to play Stanford.
Penn State,
yeah. I'd love to play Stanford, home and home. I'd love to play Northwestern, home and home. And then the regional powers of the Seton Halls and the Rutgerses and kind of the state challenges. But I think the like-minded schools of the Dukes and Northwesterns and Stanfords to get those type of games on our schedule, home and home, every, you know, so we play them once at home and then the following year on the road, would be really great.
And then the last part of that question was, do you think it's hopeless that schools like that would ever want to regularly schedule?
No, we'll be able to get...
What factors may drive that?
If they have recruits in this area. So if a great player from New Jersey goes to Duke, they'll want to bring him home. So we very episodically we might get that. We were able to get Georgia Tech here for that reason, for example. We were able to get Michigan here for that reason a few years ago. But you take Michigan, you know, we did a home and home. We beat them both years by 30. There's not a lot of Big Ten teams that are now dying to play us. We really tried to get Gabrielle Rush home, play Northwestern. They don't have interest in that. So typically what happens, Jerry, is if they don't return the game, so if Northwestern would take us, they would basically give us a sum of money that might get close to what it costs for us to travel there, but they won't return it. Or there's no money exchanging hands, and you play both 1 year at home, 1 year on the road. So I think these great basketball schools that are also high academic, it would be fun to get a group of them on our schedule.
So looking ahead to the game on the game at the Palestra on Saturday, which is 1 o'clock tip, and you mentioned Georgia Tech. Both Princeton and Penn played Georgia Tech to basically the same score.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 69-55 and 67-56. So,
mm-hmm. And St. Joe's too. St. Joe's, we both played.
And Lafayette.
Oh yeah, in Lafayette. Yeah, you're right.
Do you take anything out of that, or none of that matters?
You know, they're. we're so familiar with Penn and they're so familiar with us that kind of change that there's an element in the game plan that is hard to put to words because there's the familiarity and your players have familiarity. So they're looking at people they know. And that's got a different edge to it. So, you know, I think Penn is, you don't want to overstate or understate that it's just one game, and it's hard to impart that on your young team that it's just one game, and they might play great, they might play bad, and it doesn't mean that they're good or bad. They're Penn, we're Princeton, and we're going to be in it at the end, and it'd be fun to start off on a winning note.
You played when you were at Dartmouth. Harvard Dartmouth was the big rivalry in Ivy League women's basketball. Is this different? Is this similar to that?
Yeah, I think it's very similar. They're two of the closer
travel
schools.
Pairs.
Exactly. They're travel pairs, and they're both going to be good regardless of how this one game goes. You know, so I still actually have the Harvard rivalry as something that's special to me because I've lived it, you know, for 4 years as a player and 4 years as a coach, whereas Penn wasn't good back then, so I just didn't pay much attention to them. So it's just good for women's basketball to have a rivalry like this that you said. As you said, it transcends just the fans of the particular institutions. I mean, there will be a lot of people that will either be tuning in or there from that have no affiliation to either institution, and it's just the Penn-Princeton rivalry is something that people get excited about, and I'm honored to be a part of it.
I mean, in recent years, Penn's had some success against Princeton, but do you take a step back and think, like, those are some of the best games that I've seen in Ivy League women's basketball? I mean, they've just been so, the intensity level alone.
Yeah, and two just really good, just two good teams. I mean, obviously, Penn had I think it was like an 18-point lead in the fourth quarter against Texas A&M in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Didn't end up winning it, but they almost won a tournament game, and we won a tournament game 2 years ago. I mean, these are just really good teams and really good programs, and that's what you want if you want to put your best on display. And I hope the league continues to celebrate the fact that we're doing that.
Well, if last year is any indication, and if the years before that there had been a tournament, in all likelihood, this would be the first of three meetings between Princeton
exactly.
and Penn. But
exactly.
There's no guarantee of that. But at least it's the first meeting between Princeton and Penn. So
of course.
Men's game is Friday night at 7 o'clock at the Palestra. The women's game is Saturday at 1 at the Palestra. And then in February, it's not a doubleheader either. One is February 6th, one is February 13th, both on Tuesdays at night.
Yeah.
I do not remember who's first.
They are first. And we do that based on you want it to be, we have home and away balance. And so you don't want to go away a weekend, play again, and then go away again. So it's not that we would love for the game to be a doubleheader. I think all four teams would love for it to be a doubleheader. But you have to do what's right for your particular student athletes.
This has been the Court Report. Jerry Price with Princeton Women's Basketball Head Coach Courtney Bankhart. Thank you, everybody, again, for listening, as always. And Happy New Year to all the fans of Princeton Women's Basketball. And, Coach, thanks for being here.
Go Tigers.
And it's Penn-Princeton. It's Saturday at 1 at the Palestra. We'll be back next week. Talk about that game. Look ahead to the Cornell-Columbia weekend. And we will see you then. Again, if you have any questions that you want to have us ask the coach, you can email them to me at jprice@princeton.edu. And we look forward to hearing from everybody. And once again, thanks for being with us.